Tonight, I like to still strengthen or underline this burden of multiplication. I use this word particularly of multiplication. This word, of course, is used in various forms in the Book of Acts. You have the word multitudes, you know. Many times this word is used, multitudes. That means a large number. And you have, of course, the verb form about how the disciples in those days were multiplying in numbers. Here and there, and especially when it talked about the believers in Jerusalem, you know, how not only on the day of Pentecost or the day after, but in those days, the word of God grew and the number of disciples multiply in Jerusalem multiply greatly. And then later on, it talks about, you know, as the persecution came, the migration, the kind of a dispersion of the saints from Jerusalem happened to Judea and then Galilee and then Samaria, as the Lord had charged them to do, to be his witnesses. It says it, meaning the church. This is where I use the my scriptural proof for the singular church, you know, in so many provinces at that time, the church throughout the whole of Judea and Galilee and Samaria, at peace, being built up, and going on in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it was multiplied. Not they, but it was multiplied. And so, of course, then there are many other verses that talks about how many people, believers, were added to the Lord. And also added together. That means not just to the Lord, but to the church or the church life in those times. So Acts clearly is a book on multiplication in number, multiplication in number. In the multiples, the proliferation of believers, the spread of the believers, and the growth and so on. This is the Book of Acts. Go back to the book of John, the Gospel of John. You know, a very important section of the Gospel of John was likewise on multiplication. On multiplication. So starting with John 12, it talks about life, you know. Of course, the Lord Jesus being life itself, life's multiplication for the church through the death and resurrection, that is the glorification of God, of Christ. And it is through that process Christ was multiplied. And I would say in chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14, 15, 16, even all the way to the prayer of the Lord in chapter 17, according to Brother Lee, of course, he had in his outline, he had different ways of sectioning the book. But in at least in one place, if I remember correctly, in one of the footnotes in John 15 on the vine, which is on the multiplication via fruit bearing of the branches in the vine, Brother Lee pointed out all these are the heart of the Gospel of John, the central part of the Gospel of John. This Gospel of life is in fact on Christ multiplication. This shows how central this thought or this need of multiplication is in God's economy, in Christ, the Lord's work, on the earth. And you go back and you go back, okay, to John chapter, let me see, chapter 3. You go back to chapter 3. You have there, John the Baptist there, and with his disciples, John's disciples. And of course, these are the ones that he had baptized, and they became his followers. And actually, these followers also spread. Eventually, even in the book of Acts, they're still disciples of John. I don't remember, was Apollos one of them? Or, there are certain places, maybe in Ephesus or something, they found disciples of John who only knew the baptism of John. So they also spread. Well, I want us to note here those famous verses. When people came to John and, you are here baptizing, but there's this other guy, Jesus. He's also baptizing all those who are coming to him. And he confirmed that, no, I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the Christ. I'm only someone sent before him to be his forerunner, to the one who cut the way. Then he said this very famous word that we all love. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, referring to himself, who stands and hears him, rejoices with joy because of the bridegroom's voice. This joy of mine, therefore, is made full. Then he said this, a short verse, verse 30. He must increase and I must decrease. Now, of course, we know that this increase here actually refers to the bride. Am I right? The bride. This composition of all of Christ's redeemed, and as his increase, this corporate bride is the increase. And he said, but I must decrease. Now, most of the us and, the sort of from the inner life perspective, we would quote this verse usually by saying, I must decrease, I must die, I must be broken. You know what I mean? My natural life has to decrease, and the Lord has to increase in me, grow in me, you know, to full stature and so on and so forth. Well, we cannot say that that is wrong. There is that aspect. But here, if you read the context, it is John the Baptist who said that. So really, when he say he must decrease, it what does that mean? John says, I must decrease. You tell me, what does that mean? That really means that all his disciples that he had collected should all leave him and go to follow Jesus. Do you agree with me?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be the decrease of John. Because by that time, he was influential. He baptized a lot of people. A lot of people repented, and he even prophesied concerning Christ, and even he said, behold, the Lamb of God. But still he held on to his disciples, or his disciples held on to him. And he said, no, I must decrease. I must decrease in number. I must decrease in my followers. I must decrease in people who are with me, but he must increase. What does that mean? That means Jesus needs more people. Jesus should have more followers. Jesus should have all the disciples. I'm just preaching the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of repentance, and I baptize people with water, but this one who come, he will baptize with the Spirit, right? And so on and so forth. You should all go to him, all follow him. But that didn't happen. In the end, he didn't decrease that much. And Christ did not increase that much. And sorry to say, you all know what happened to John. Eventually, he got his head chopped. In the process, that means John, having fulfilled his ministry as the forerunner of Christ, he should just exit left from the stage. You know what I mean? He should just have just stop his ministry. He should stop his ministry and let everyone be baptized by Christ and follow the Lord, follow him, and he that would be the end. That is job done, well done. But no, he kept some people, and so he really did not decrease that much. And Christ did not increase that much. Now, my point, brothers, is that this increase and decrease refers not just to, you know, our natural life or our life of Christ. No, it refer to persons, people, believers, followers, disciples. That's what it refers to. So I'm just making note this because recently I read that and Brother Lee talked about this. And I was quite enlightened because I never thought about this verse in this kind of a way. Then we know that one of the key verses that talk about multiplication, in fact, is great verse and in chapter 12, verse 24, when the Lord said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. So here is the classic verse, all right? The classic verse on multiplication of Christ, the multiplication of Jesus Christ. He was the only grain of wheat, and If it does not fall into the ground and dies, that means if he didn't go to the cross, this seed, as wonderful as it is with the life of God, with the divine life, will abide alone. That means it will stay one seed forever. It's a great seed. It's a marvelous seed, but it will be alone. Nothing will happen to it. And therefore, it needs to fall into the ground and die, so that we all know the shell of the Lord, humanity would be broken in the process, and so that the life within him could be released and imparted into God's chosen ones, chosen and redeemed ones. And by that impartation of the divine life through the death of one seed, there is a glorious multiplication. There's glory, you may say. Glorification is an expression. It's a marvelous expression, a greater expression. And here it says, if it dies, it bears much fruit. See, the first mentioning of fruit bearing is not John 15 on the vine and the branches. No, the first mentioning of fruit bearing is John 12 about the one grain of wheat. You see this, brothers? But in these chapters where much is spoken about the Lord's going and the Lord's coming, chapter 12, 13, about his having to die and resurrect and so on. And you have the Father's house in chapter 14. You have the vine tree in chapter 15. You have then the new child, man-child, in chapter 16. Then you have the oneness, ultimately, in chapter 17. And much is spoken in these chapters concerning the coming of the Spirit of reality, the other comforter. All of this, brothers, is for what? Is for what? It's for multiplication. It's for the multiplication of Christ. Christ came to this earth not just to accomplish redemption. Christ came to this earth to accomplish multiplication. Redemption is just a procedural matter, you see, to deal with the problem of sin between, the fallen man and God, judicially. So he did that on the cross. But the goal is not to accomplish redemption. The goal is what? To accomplish multiplication. Multiplication is what was in God's mind. To multiply himself in his elect, in his chosen ones that he redeemed. And so on the cross, therefore, you have these two aspects of Christ's death. One is called the judicial aspect, and the other aspect is the aspect of what? Of life impartation, or you may say of regeneration through resurrection. This is what is in God's mind, to multiply himself, to reproduce, as it were, himself. Christ is not, it's not good just for Christ to be alone. It says it's not good for man to be alone in Genesis, right? One or two, excuse me. But it is not good for Christ to be alone as a single grain. He must multiply. He must reproduce himself. And that's why he went to the cross. Well, then of course, you come to John 15. You come to John 15. Because this chapter is on the vine tree. It is something organic, am I right? And this whole chapter 15 of John is on the multiplication of this vine tree by the branches bearing fruit. So not only is God's plan that his son, right, Christ, would be that one grain who die to bear many, many grains to form the one loaf as his glorious and large expression. But his intention is that these ones that Christ would regenerate and beget are to also multiply, to continue this process of multiplication and spread. This thought is very, very clear. And so Brother Lee really took his time to make the point, make the distinction that this fruit here in John 15 is not the same as the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. That fruit of the Spirit refers to the many virtues of Christ, right? Lived out or magnify through us or in us. That means by our living Christ, we express these human virtues, these uplifted human virtues of the Lord. And we do that by walking by the Spirit, by living in the Spirit and not in our flesh. So you can go read. This is Galatians chapter 5. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, long-suffering. Am I right? So many items. But Brother Lee took pain to make a distinction and say and prove to us John 15 is not that kind of fruit of the Spirit. This fruit here are people. This fruit in John 15 clearly refers to people. Now you can read his books and his messages to see this. And tonight I don't have the time to get into John 15. But I would just want to stress how much the multiplication of himself in a organic way, in a life way, is so much God's heart's desire, God's purpose and plan, God's goal, right? That there would be much fruit, there will be many grains, there will be, the Father will have many sons, the more the better for his expression. So the Lord speaking in John, I mean, look, the verses bears, each branch bearing fruit, every branch bearing fruit, he prunes it so that it can bear more fruit. A branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I mean, just listen to this, brothers. The thought, the burden, the repetition is, I want fruit. I want more fruit. I want much fruit. I'm the vine. You are the branches, just full of repetition. He who abides in me, I in him, he bears much fruit again. I want much fruit. And then negatively, if anyone who does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is dried up, and they cast them into the fire, they burn. Again, as a kind of a warning to the branches, would not bear fruit, that would not abide. It's a big deal, big deal. And then verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will and it shall be done for you. And clearly this asking, brothers, relates to fruit. This is not general prayer. This is a asking in this context for fruit. In this is my Father glorified. You see the word glory, glorification is here. That means expressed, you know, in that you bear much fruit, that you will become my disciples and so on. And then in verse 16, you didn't choose me, I chose you, and I set you that you should go forth and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. I don't think I'm brothers, just exaggerating this matter. You just read this portion in John 15. It is nothing else in the Lord's mind. The Father is the husbandman. I am the true vine, and you, the branches, must go forth and bear fruit. And here in verse 16, you didn't choose me, I chose you. Brothers, we were chosen in eternity past. We were chosen. And then what? And I set you. Well, what is this setting? That means through the Lord's death and resurrection, and through our belief and into him and being baptized into him, we were grafted. We were grafted like that wild olive tree into the good olive tree in Romans. This is a grafting. This is the setting, all right? All this, the Lord did. For what? My question is, for what? Not so that we would just be a branch, but that you should go forth and bear fruit. You know, talk about finding the meaning of your life. Talk about finding the purpose of your existence. It couldn't be more clear in John 15, 16. We are here, chosen, saved, set, to do one thing, to go forth and bear fruit, and even to bear remaining fruit, fruit that remain. For what? For the Father's glory and for the Son's joy. And here he repeats, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. There are three that's here. Look. I set you that you should go forth and bear fruit, right? I'm sorry. Okay. He said, I set you. Then there are three that's. Number one, that you should go forth and bear fruit. Number two, that your fruit should remain. Number three, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. All those related to multiplication. Number one, that we should go and bear fruit. Number two, we should bear remaining fruit. That means this kind of fruit will take time and endurance to bear that kind of a fruit. And number three, again, repeating, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Ask the Father for fruit. ask the Father on how you can bear fruit as a branch. I mean, brothers, this is a tremendous promise. Whatever you want. But of course, this is not asking something selfishly. This is asking for fruit for the vine that we bear. Just ask, and the Father will give it to you. Now, brothers, I say all these things not to, again, not to expound, the word here. But again, this this burden that is weighing on me, brothers, and that is we need a kind of a still an adjustment in our mentality, in our concept. Nowhere is here the word gospel preaching is used in John. No, it just talks about multiplication of life, and it talks about the bearing of fruit. It's a matter not of work. It's not a matter of campaign, okay? It's not a matter of that. There is that, but this is not in this gospel. This is a gospel of life. Here it just talks about bearing fruit. And so today, brothers, I feel what the Lord needs to get through, break through among us in the recovery. It's not just, okay, we're all now fired up to preach the gospel or do this and that. We may do that. But imagine this, that the saints and the church would have this kind of a view in them, that we're here on the earth as a Christian, you know, as a branch, to bear fruit, not even to save souls. This to bear fruit, okay? Persons as fruit, persons as fruit. And as a church, you know, a bunch of branches, you put them together, that's a local church, right? Is also there for no reason but to bear fruit and multiply. Now, in this light, my brothers, if we don't bear fruit as an individual branch or as a collection of branches, like in a church, then something is very, very wrong. We are not fulfilling our calling, God's choosing, God's setting. We're not. You know, Brother Lee said that. He said, he used this illustration of, I mentioned to some brothers, he said, I see some trees, fruit trees. They have a lot of branches. They have tons of leaves. But you go look at them, not a single fruit. Beautiful to look at, beautiful to be photographed, but no fruit, fruitless. You know, Israel, you know, as that fig tree, remember the fig tree? No fruit. So the Lord cursed it. You know, of course, that's a type of Israel not bearing fruit. And so it's cursed and dried up. God wants fruit from Israel, and God wants fruit from the church. And this fruit, on the one hand, is Christ live out from us. That's the fruit of the Spirit. This is on the one side. But there's the other side, and that is human beings as fruit. So there should be a fruit tree. We should be a fruit tree that is not only beautiful to look at and kind of flourishing, but there must be fruit in our lives. There must be fruit in our church. So this kind of multiplication or growth in number is hardly, brothers, just a matter of work or campaign or some kind of doing. This is our living. This is our existence. This is why we're here. So brothers, if we don't bear some fruit, I tell you, we are very wrong. But we don't have that concept. We have thought about, oh, I'm not spiritual enough. I'm not victorious enough. I'm not growing in life enough. Well, that is legitimate burden. But hardly, or less, much less so, we think about, I haven't been bearing fruit. I've been a Christian for how many decades? I have not borne one fruit. I've been in the church for how long? How many fruits have I borne in number, in people, in persons? We're not so condemned by that. We're not so, you know, no big deal. That's not much a big deal. As long as I can grow, and so on. So, brothers, I just cannot tell you this is how much this is a burden in me. I feel, especially in the Lord's recovery in the churches in this country, we need a breakthrough in this. I will say even, it's not just about, oh, let's take the God-ordained way, let's take this way or that way. When you don't have this view about yourself, and when the saints don't have this view about themselves, that I must bear some fruit for the Lord. I must do it. I'm a branch. This is why I'm here. This is why the Lord grafted me into himself. This is why I receive his life. It is to bear fruit. It is to multiply, so that Christ can spread and expand and be enlarged, brothers. You know, even migration, we should have the same view that migration is what? It is for this vine tree to spread. You know, Genesis chapter 49, it talks about the Abraham's blessing, right, to his sons, and his blessing to Joseph is, Joseph is a fruitful bough, by a fountain. His branches ran over the wall. You know, what a blessing is this? What a blessing is this? God wants to see fruitfulness. That means more expression of himself, larger expression of himself, greater expression of himself. That's what is burdening the Lord. That's what he wants to see. So I hope, brothers, as we are here serving in the church life and bearing responsibility, we would have, brothers, this view. This is not even just about, you know, I don't know how to say this. Brothers, to want to have larger numbers is not wrong.
No.
Don't think that's
wrong. Lord.
Well, it depends. If you want to mushroom and take the Christianity way, do worldly things. Yeah. But we're not talking about that.
Right.
We're talking about each branch, just a normal branch.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about evangelists. I'm just talking about branches.
Amen.
But they know they are a branch. They know They've been chosen. They know they have been set, and they know the three that's in verse 16.
Right.
They're very conscious about it.
Mm.
You know, day and night, they're not just thinking, oh, am I more spiritual? Am I more victorious? Am I more? No. Or even they don't think, will I be an overcomer? Don't take me wrong. I'm not saying we shouldn't care for that. But we may be caring for those things and we forgot we're here to bear fruit. We're here to bear fruit. That's why we're here, brothers. Each one of us. And so without that kind of a concept or thought, we don't feel condemned when we don't bear fruit. We don't feel bad that something is wrong. When something is terribly wrong, when a saint year after year has no fruit to show, when a local church year after year is not increasing in number, well, we just say, well, whatever. No, that's very wrong. You know, these GTCA cities, you know, most of them on the average, okay, now the some are bigger. But average, you know, your typical GTCA church is about 50 people. I don't know how that happens, about 50 people. That's good. That's the number of the company that the Lord have sit on the grass, you know, when he distribute the food. It's 50 a company. So about 50. I said, brothers, I told the brothers, for you to grow from 50 to 100 over a few years' time is very reasonable. This is not some kind of whoa, crazy, miraculous things. But because we have been living more in a state of being barren or not fruitful, so you're crazy that we can double our number in a few years. Are you kidding? This never happened, brothers. You see, it's the mindset. It's the thought. We, brothers, we are not here to make us all Billy Graham, okay? We're not here making all of us evangelists. We're just saying we are just branches. So normally, brotherly say, okay, if not 1 year per harvest, how about every 2 years you bear a remaining fruit? He even later on said every 3 years you bear a remaining fruit. And he's really, really being very, very kind and generous to us. I don't know the Lord is that generous. I don't know. And after two, if you see this and you labor and you don't give up, you ask the Lord in prayer, you visit people, you contact them, you won't let them go, you know, all these kind of things, you feed them, brothers, 2-3 years, you cannot bring someone to the Lord. Brothers, and even if your church, not all the saints would do this. Half of the saints, a third of the saints would do this. I tell you, the increase will be like this, will be. I wouldn't say like this, but I would surely say like this. This is the way of life, brothers. Don't say to gain people is not the way of life. No. Fruit bearing, which is gospel preaching on the highest plane, Brother Lee's word, the highest plane of gospel preaching is to bear fruit. Normally, regularly. Brothers, this is the breakthrough we need. We've got to help the saints. And we got to help our church to just bring forth fruit in a normal way. Now, what does this take, brothers? I feel did I talk to you last time? I don't remember. I just don't remember about, you know, our need to be vitalized, right? By confession, did I talk about that with you? I don't, a little bit, huh? You know, I've been speaking elsewhere on this matter about the key to vitalization is two things, confession and consecration. Then this is a twin, a pair, confession and consecration. Confession means the confession of our sins and the emptying out of ourselves, the dealing with all the unclean and sinful or worldly and selfish things before the Lord, according to the shining of his light, right? If we walk in the light, we will realize we're sinful and we deal with these things through confession. And if we do that, we promise that he is righteous. He's faithful and he's righteous. Faithful because of his promise and righteous because of the shed blood of Christ. To what? To forgive us and to cleanse us. Brothers, there's no way to vitality but through confession. These days, we have to help the saints ourselves to live a life of confession, thorough confession. Sometimes we need to take a longer time with the Lord just to confess our sins. And the result of this confession is cleansing, forgiveness. Then now, you know what? You are a sanctified vessel. You're a clean vessel. You're holy. And this holy vessel now is ready to be offered. In Romans 12, we are a living sacrifice, holy, holy, a cleansed vessel, holy, well-pleasing to God. And that's our most reasonable service. And so we offer ourselves to the Lord. We need to have a life of confession and a life of consecration daily, all the time. If you do this, brothers, you will be a living one. You will be vitalized for sure. And I told the saints, in confession, one of the key is to be thorough. Thorough. The more thorough your confession, the more thorough the forgiveness, and the more thorough the cleansing. Consecration, likewise. It needs to be thorough. You know, there's one song, right? One hymn by Francis Abigail, right? Take my life, take my heart, take my intellect, take my lips, take my mouth, take my feet, take my hands, take my all. I mean, talk about a thorough consecration. When that consecration is done, it's all for Jesus. It's all for Jesus. You are just a, you know, consecration really means your hand is full, am I right? It's all offer to the Lord. But I feel in these days, brothers, we need one specific confession and one specific consecration. The confession that we need is, Lord, I have been barren. How much do we confess that sin? We confess many things, but how about confess that? Lord, I have not borne any fruit for you. Lord, how can I face you empty-handed? You see, this specific confession How about this, brothers? How about this? And then in consecration, I say likewise. We consecrate to the Lord for what? I say, brothers, we need to have specific consecration to bear fruit. Yeah, a very specific consecration in these days. I actually believe as a single believer, as the church, we need this particular confession and consecration in these days. Very specific. And see what the Lord will do. Then based on this, we need to make a resolution. Make a resolution. To what? To bear fruit. It takes a resolution. It takes a determination. It's not like, yeah, it's okay. It doesn't matter. No. You don't have a resolution, if you're not determined, then it won't happen. And this resolution is a bring you to a what? To a kind of desperation. You know what I mean? You become desperate. You resolve to do something and you're not there. You don't see the results. You become desperate. Brotherly say the vital group starts with one saint who is desperate for the increase of the church. Of course, that means for himself or herself to be desperate. Though those who have experience know these things are practical. Fruit bearing is practical. And the first thing Brotherly told us is what? Is to make a list of names. He called it your Jerusalem, your little Jerusalem. Of names of people you know, relatives, friends, colleagues, family members, who are not saved, who don't know the Lord, who are not regenerated. He told us to do that. And then based on that, the Lord, with much desperateness or desperation, mainly through prayer. That the Lord will lead us to some, to specifically pray for them. Then, finally, he said this, then to make this practical, you have to, what I call, we need another thing that's called prioritization. Prioritization, you know what I mean? That means prioritize your schedule, your daily life for the sake of contacting people, for the sake of bringing people to the Lord, for the sake of bearing fruit, giving certain time each week, and not do this in a short spurt, but do it in the long term. He told us all these things way back in the 60s. And in the vital group training in the 90s, he essentially was saying the same thing with different words. Dear brothers, I want to encourage you and encourage myself. What I'm talking about here is possible. And it is about time the Lord would see this and gain this among us. Anyway, I'm being very, very general today. I know that, but I want to just still, since that's a burden in me, I just to be faithful to share this. It sounds like a demand. It sounds like a, you know, pressure. Whatever it is, brothers, it's the Lord's word in the Lord's heart. And I just know that if this would take off, if this will become a culture, firstly a habit, and then a culture among us, this fruit-bearing habit and fruit-bearing culture in a normal, consistent, enduring way, there will be fruit. You know, sometimes you bring one fruit. Behind that fruit is a whole family. You know, four for the price of one, you know. These kind of things happened. My, when the saints are like this and a local church is like this, brothers, that's the revival. That's a revival. Now we still need full-timers. You know, we still need co-workers. Of course we do. We do. But I would say today the shortage is not even that. Of course, we need to thrust out more workers into the Lord's harvest. But I'm talking about the saints, the churches. I like to tell you, this is our need today. We have everything. You know, this verse says, we have peace, we're being built up, we're going on in the fear of the Lord. We have the comfort of the Holy Spirit. The question is, are we multiplied? Are we multiplied? So I would just stop on that note. Amen. I hope you're all okay, right?
Amen.
Last time, did I show you this book?
Yeah.
Huh? Maybe not with all the brothers that are
trying to bear fruit.
Jim, can you put it next to your camera? We cannot
over
see
to, over to the side a little, Jim. There.
There we go.
Way, way to bear fruit.
So simple. 1966.
Right.
It's like yesterday.
Yeah.
It's a word for today.
Yes.
I mean, brothers, he's been speaking it for decades. But somehow it did not quite catch.
No.
And we even make many things very complex and this way, right. That way. This is the way of life, brothers.
Yes. Amen.
The most prevailing way. But it is also the laboring way.
Amen.
There's no shortcut to this.
No.
The laboring way.
Mm-hmm.
Every year, every 2 years, every 3 years, we must bear fruit for the Lord. No excuse.
Amen.
You know, brotherly used the word, this is our obligation.
Right.
This is our responsibility.
Right.
Until this matter becomes that, it's still an excuse. Well, so what? I don't have fruit. It's serious.
Oh, Lord.
It's serious. You'll be cut off. Maybe you're cut off already.
Right.
That's today. But how about that day? My goodness, fire. Right. Cast into some fire. I don't know what that fire is, but it's not going to be that pleasant.
Amen.
It means a lot to the Lord, to the vine tree, whether we bear fruit or not, whether our church is growing or not. But the steps are here. We have steps, brothers, even what I mentioned very briefly.
We can do that.
And of course, we have to talk more about how to contact people, this and that. But the main thing is the burden. And take this matter seriously. Jesus. This has to be part and parcel of church life.
Yes, amen.
Not some extra thing here called gospel.
No.
This is our church life.
Amen.
Now, I'd like to take 5 minutes, to say something to you about the blending center that we are now starting to do demo work and, you know, soon to do the actual building and renovating work. As you all have received some communication from the brothers responsible that we need $2 million, right? $2 million US to cover our needs for this construction process to make this building ready for our use, hopefully by the early part of next year, right? Brothers, I'm just looking forward. Whoa, COVID is ending, am I right? I'm going to use my frequent flyer points again, maybe on Southwest, and start coming up to the Bay Area. And I want to see this blending center, you know? And I believe we all want to see that. I think its use will be, the use of that place will be multifarious. It would be very, very useful place for all the churches in Northern Cal. So we now need $2 million. I know it's a lot of money. It's not only sound like a lot of money, but it is a lot of money. I also know that many saints have given very much and have poured out over these last few years to bring us to where we are. But I also believe that not only we have this need, but I very much believe the Lord's supply is there to meet this need. And I don't say that miraculously. I say that normally. That is, it is in the saints to what? To give this $2 million to finish it. Now, I'm not a good fundraiser or anything like that, but let's say in your normal meeting number on Lord's Day is 2,500, something like that. And would that translate into maybe 1,000 giving units? Something like that, right? I'm just rough, back of napkin. 1,000 giving units amongst the churches. And if each unit would give $2,000, there you have $2 million. If each giving unit. Now, I know $2,000 is a lot of money. It is, especially for some. But I'm just saying, on the average, it is not beyond the realm of possibility. You know, brothers, really, I just heard that today the head of the Federal Reserve Bank, U.S., I don't know what his name is, he predicted that this year, GDP will grow like phenomenally because of the the lockdown being over, business coming back, and I mean something like up to over 5%, 5-7%, some very big number. So brothers, you know, the more we give, the more we receive. You know, what we give is not permanently lost. It's earning interest in the heavenly bank. Not only so, whatever we give, we can testify the Lord more than backfill, the Lord more than reward, many times, many times, so that there's no worry that we will be short. We will be short. So I would like to really put in my two cents to encourage all of you brothers that we're nearing the end stretch, so to speak, as far as having this hall ready, very useful place, facility. Let us exercise ourselves and let us burden the saints. Not to do the impossible, but to do the very, very possible by his grace, by his work of grace in each one of us. So I just want to say that concerning the this building. I hope this is okay.
Amen.
Amen.
That's all, brothers.
Amen.
I was just thinking many of us received stimulus checks from the government.
I thought about that, but I was not so bold like you. We're here praying so much for this country. This country should help us now, right?
Yes, that's right.
To finish this hall. You know, we all have this experience in the matter of giving. The more, when the Lord burdens us, the more we don't give,
right,
the less we have.
That's right. That's right.
For some crazy reason, that's how the math works, you know. The more we hold back something we should give,
all
we have is blown away. Somehow disappears. But on the contrary, when we're burdened to give, and it's a little painful, it's a little stretch, but by faith, you just cast the lot. You know what I mean? You, so to speak, gamble. You just put it forth. My goodness, I never regretted any of my giving. Never. I always regret I didn't give in time. Always. That's always the case. You know, when you give in time, brothers, the spiritual profit is just immeasurable. Immeasurable. To be enjoyed not only by yourself, but by the continuing generation, you know, of the Lord's recovery. So it's a great thing, brothers, this facility.
Amen.
Amen.
Can I take a minute, brothers, to just endorse everything that was said tonight and to encourage all of the brothers, all the elders, all the serving ones who are here, to purchase that book and read it. But don't just read it prayerfully.
Amen.
There are many statements made by Brotherly in that book which penetrate to my conscience and my heart and convict me. And this conviction is the work of the Holy Spirit, right? And our sin, we think, well, our sin, our greatest sin is barrenness. It's the greatest. It's the greatest sin. It's the, and yet, brothers, I say this myself, I'm not that uncomfortable about it personally until I read things like this, until I hear a word like this tonight. This is a very convincing, I'd say, well argued, but not just that, it's very convicting. The book of John is called the book of life. The last, at least the last third of the book are on multiplication. Chapter 12 through chapter 17 is all on multiplying Christ. And yet we can be satisfied, or we think we'll be satisfied, if we meet our subjective standard of spirituality. That's a real loss. That's the enemy. I didn't be too much, but that's what the enemy is. He's done in this inner life, and not to mention anything is against the inner life. The inner life is for the fruit. It's a fruit bearing life. Okay, so I'd really enjoy, man, I just encourage you to purchase this book and to read it with your spouse, with your brothers, with your serving ones, with the elders, with the everyone would read this and just let the Lord speak to you and allow him to allow the Lord. We should just say, Lord, speak to me and penetrate me with this thought. Mm-hmm. In the five chapters of that, five or six chapters, every chapter begins with Brother Lee saying, the first thing I need to do is change your concept. Mm-hmm. That's the main thing that needs to be done. And we brothers, especially the older we are, the more caught we are in this concept. Is the gospel is a campaign. The gospel is a work. The gospel is an event. John says fruit bearing is our living. And it's one by one. We're not going to go out and get 10 people to take care of, like the old lady who lived in the shoe who had so many children she didn't know what to do, right? It's not like that. It's a family. It's a reasonable, doable, blessed way to go on. And if we don't, brothers, what do we have? With the Lord's recovery requires us. The Lord is speaking to us about this very, very, very much. And I'd encourage us all to even watch this again. We'll listen to our brother's words that are very clearly stated, very properly spoken, and allow the Lord to speak in all of us. I don't mean this in a light way. I don't mean this as something, too much. No, this is not too much. The questions Brother Lee, Brother Minoru asked us tonight about our barrenness, about being in a locality for 50 years and remaining approximately the same in number in our meetings. If this is not a beautiful a beautiful apple tree with no apples, what is it? If this is not a beautiful fig tree with no figs, what is it? The Lord curses that in the Old Testament, and he curses it in the New Testament. You're a fruitless vine. And we don't need to beat ourselves up over the head on this. We just need to come to the Lord with this and allow the Lord to shepherd us and convict us and Like Morano said, in the light, if we walk in the light with the Lord, we'll have fellowship, and the blood of his son will cleanse us. We'll be vessels cleansed and suitable for consecration to the Lord for this. And the Lord will answer this. The Lord's more than waiting to, well, why did the brothers in Living Stream publish this book right now? There's 130 volumes of other things they could have published. I think that's the Lord, right? It's available right now. It's in the online bookstore. And I just thank the Lord for our brothers speaking this to all of us tonight. May we spend some of our time now that we have an early evening to pray. Just pray along the lines of this. Open to the Lord and ask the Lord to lead us. I believe if we're seeking the Lord's leading, we just received it. This is the Lord's burden. This is not because Minoru's got some idea that we need to fill the country up with new church. This is the Lord's speaking to us, brothers. We're elders. We're leading ones. We're responsible brothers. We're co-workers. We're all the brothers in this region, this area, who have an interest in the Lord's things, an interest in the Lord's economy, in his enterprise. I don't want to go much more, but please, brothers, take this opportunity. I know how busy we all are. We're all busy, very busy, but take this opportunity to pause and to pray and open to the Lord with this fresh word. Listen to it again with the other brothers. Purchase this book and fellowship over this book with one or two others you care for and are related to. This is a twos and threes matter. This is the elders' burden, the co-workers' responsibility. This is a word spoken to us. This is not a word spoken to all the thousands of saints meeting among us. This is not something to run out and tell everybody about tomorrow. This is a word for us to receive and to labor with the Lord in. We'll see the Lord's confirmation. I really very much believe it. And we will see the Lord's blessing very much.
Amen.
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 You know, we in the coming times, and I mean, I'm speaking not just this to you, but wherever there's an opening, that's my burden.
Amen.
We will touch on vital companions. We still need to speak much concerning small group districts, and you know, so many things. But those things are all necessary. They provide the environment for us to bear fruit, right? The church life. But there's no replacement for each branch in John 15. Each branch. Unless we come to terms with that, we can still kind of be in the church life and kind of carry on in that way. There's no sense of personal responsibility before God to be a fruitful branch. And I think if the Lord can sensitize us to this and convict us in this matter,
Amen.
That is a major, major breakthrough.
Amen. Amen.